You've been injured in an auto accident, and now you're drowning in medical bills or dealing with insurance companies who couldn't care less about you. Injury attorney David Femininio needs to be your first call, period. Get David, get paid. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's a promise. So if someone you know has been injured, don't just sit there and hope things get better. Call David at 855-65-CRASH or go to that website. GetDavidGetPaid.com. That's GetDavidGetPaid.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, if you're just joining, it has been a rather lively start to the show. We are going to move football today to next hour because Wings fans want to talk. And I look, yesterday, I just want to set this up and then we're going right to the phones. I was very optimistic. The Tarasenko thing just made me feel like, okay, he's cooking up something big. Like, it's happening. They're gonna make the A-list move. And no, please, I beg of you not to call with this angle. Oh, what are we, one player away from a cup, jackass? No, I know that. But it doesn't mean you can't get better. Better is legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't mean you can't start stacking players so that you do become one player away.
But all this is right now, as they've signed somebody named Ian Mitchell, the guy who used to be James Van Riemsdyk about a decade ago, and then a guy with three names I can't pronounce. The point is, it's more of the no-risk, very limited upside signings that Yzerman makes. And I think in your seventh offseason, the time to be super risk-averse is over. And I'm still holding out hope there's something. Because I don't know how you could go to this fan base in the centennial where they're going to do all these special events, and it's already kind of a powder keg. And I don't know what the percentage is. I don't know what percentage of fans are angry at Steve and then what percentage of fans would like have Steve's baby. I don't know, like, what is it, 50-50 right now? 60-40?
No.
I don't know.
I think more fans are starting to get just apathetic and angry at Steve and okay, want to see a move. I think the Steve bots are just, that number is just getting reduced by the
okay,
minute.
So I'm waiting because he got to bring it 8 days after free agency started. I have to wait because and you might be right. Kenny's going to be right. I know you guys are going to be right, and I'll be blowing the whistle in the freezing water. I know this. Okay. The point is,
look, stop.
No, the point is, no, I can't live in a world where you take the podium in year seven and it's Ian Mitchell, James Van Riemsdyk, you know what I like, and they'd be leaving $17 million in cap space on the table. There's no way. If that happens, they may as well just quit. So I'm holding out hope. And I know it's not a strategy. I know that.
What you are saying, Mike, makes total sense. It's like, okay, you're saving up this money for this one or two moves where you could bring in two guys making $7 million a year. But we're not seeing it, and it kind of goes, and it's like Steve kind of said, I'm not going to do much.
All right, I want to ask if I can say this and if it's legal. And I'll leave it to Kenny and you and David and certainly the listeners. I'm asking if this is okay to be feeling this. Is Yzerman scared? Is he gun shy? Like, if you're this risk averse, there's got to be something behind it. Is he worried that he's going to make his Javi Baez move? Like, what?
No,
I'm asking.
No, see, I understand where you're coming from, but I don't think it's that. Hold on 1 second, Kenny. To me, it's more of a, I have a plan, and I'm not going to deviate from this plan.
Yeah, it's rigidity.
And I know, you know, it looks like it's not going to work, but I know deep down this will work, and he will not deviate from that plan.
I mean, it's similar to what you said. I wouldn't say scared. I would use the word stubborn. Like, okay, this is mine, and
better
I'm not
word.
Going to change.
Okay. Let's go to Owen, 97.1. Hi, Owen. Owen?
Owen, you there?
Yeah, he quit too. That's fine. I want to.
Life raft didn't get to Owen fast.
I know. Let's go to Mick 97.1. Mick, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Thanks for this topic. Thanks for the time.
Yeah.
So I would say this. I was apathetic heading into around the draft. Just, you know, seen this before. Gibson was nice. It was a nice move. And, you know, but still didn't move the needle. When Tarasenko's contract was dumped, yeah, you know what? I got excited, Mike. I got excited, Rico. And thinking somebody was coming, somebody was on deck. And yeah, it could still happen, but let's be honest. Ekblad was already off the board. Gavrikov's gone. Miller, done. Our options are limited. My eggs are firmly in the Jason Robertson or bust basket. If this doesn't happen, you know, this team is going to just continue to move the goalposts to next year. But here's the thing. You look at those contracts, these guys that you signed today, you know, Mitchell, JVR, whomever. Here's the problem. You know, never mind Mitchell, who's going to be a Grand Rapids guy, but JVR, I'd much rather see Mazur up here. And listen, if you're going to play him only 10 minutes a night, again, give me Mazur with upside. We know what JVR is.
Yeah.
JVR is going to be a worse version of what he was this year. And next year, again, what is this team? If your youth is that good, if you're this high in your prospects, play him. Now, mind you, I want to see a splash. I want them to do a splashy move, but stop signing filler bums.
Correct.
Block all the matriculations. Stop it.
Mick, it Rico said it, though. It just feels like he just keeps buying time. And you get to a point where you're like, I put up, like, great example is the goalie thing, Mick. I mean, John Gibson, for the entirety of the time he is here, is going to play a vast majority of the games. And it's like, okay, well, mm-hmm. Then what was the point in waiting for Kosa all this time?
Right.
I just don't, I don't understand. Clear.
Yeah, you know, you're right. It's clear that their minds aren't made up on Kosa. It's clear that Augustine is going to make them wait. Augustine, you know, recommitting or staying with State. You know, they draft another goalie high. Honestly, I think at least they read the writing on the wall there that Kosa might not be their guy. But here's the problem. You know, you've got MBN, you've got Danielson, you've got Mazur. All three of these guys, two of three of those guys should make this team. Will there be roster spots available? And I'm not worried about the AAV of guys like JVR. It's the fact that these are veterans who, listen, McClellan's going to want to play these guys. I would say, listen, you got to figure out what this team is. Is this team a rebuild that you're going to build on youth? Or do you want the buddy club of a bunch of retread veterans?
Yep.
Which is it?
It's like the deadline. We were all pining for a move, and Dylan Larkin took the bold step of, you know, putting his ass in the jackpot. And Steve went, okay, here's Craig Smith. What? Wait, yeah. What?
Unbelievable.
Mick, look, I'm holding out hope, buddy, but I got to tell you, the water's pretty cold.
Hey, man, let's go light some candles, say some prayers, do please. Some voodoo, Jason Robertson.
I hope so, because, I mean, Mick, we kind of need that laser beam meme thing to be true. We need that version of this guy because I won't even be angry if this is the offseason. It'll be complete apathy. And I fully admit this. I've never hidden from this. If you're going to do this job, you kind of got to pick your spots. You can't be perfect in everything. There's going to be a sport that falls to the wayside. I'm open about it. Hockey is that sport for me. There's more juice in the orange. Certainly football dominates my life, both here on the radio with you guys every day, but the podcast, the National Football Show, like football's my currency. That gets most of my time. Then it's basketball and baseball. And yes, I enjoy hockey, but I can't do everything all the time. Like, why do you think Stephen A. Smith is never right about anything and sounds like a half-wit most of the time? Because he's trying to be everything to everyone all the time on 8 million shows. You can't be great at anything at that level. At that point, everything just sounds like this. The reason I say it is, whether, you know, again, guys, you don't have to be Don Cherry or Elliot Friedman to be able to speak on these things. Like, we are versed enough in this to where we know it's not good enough. We know the players you're signing are not good enough. And demanding a splash isn't this idiotic, you don't know puck radio thing. No, it's actually correct. We're in year seven. They need something.
They need something, Mike. And because you're in year seven, I think the definition of splash has been reduced to, you know, puddle, trickle, something. We just want something.
Just blow the
splash
whistle.
Splash was 2 years ago.
Just blow the whistle.
Now it's just, yeah, throw a pebble in the pond.
There. Yep. Thanks. Thanks.
Now you're just hoping that boat hurts you and turns around. Help me.
I'm holding out hope, but my body temperature is decreasing.
Help me, please. Help me. Help me.
I'm starting to sound like Will Ferrell when Dr. Evil sends him to the pit of hell.
Help me. Oh, you shot me. You shot me in the arm.
Help me. Somebody, please. Okay. I'm holding out hope, man. Come on, Stevie, please. 248-539-9797. Your calls coming up next. You've been injured in an auto accident, and now you're drowning in medical bills or dealing with insurance companies who couldn't care less about you. Injury attorney David Femininio needs to be your first call, period. Get David, get paid. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's a promise. So if someone you know has been injured, don't just sit there and hope things get better. Call David at 855-65-CRASH. Or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's getdavidgetpaid.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
71.
All right, Wings fans, where you at? You're seeing what's going on or the lack of what's going on. Have you reached that point of just, let's face it, apathy? You don't know quite how to feel because you don't know what the plan is. What is the Iser plan? 248-539-9797.
We'll save you, Mike.
David, a couple ticket texts and we'll hit the phone line.
To hell with the ticket texts. We're going to the people.
Just straight to the phone.
Okay. Just please. Justin, you get the first shot at fixing everything. Hi.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Hey, Rico.
Hey.
How's it going? Yeah, I said death taxes and signing vets over 35. I think that's the Iser plan. I don't know. We had Medano Alfredson just got JVR. He would have been sick when 2016 when he was in Toronto. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple names out there, and, you know, Elliot Freeman came out today and said that Ehlers isn't going to make a decision until tomorrow. He's a free agent. He was good on the Jets. Granlin, I think, is still available in Dallas. And one name that might be helful is Klingberg in Edmonton. He kind of fell off since he was in Dallas, but he'd be cheap. He'd be better than Hull.
Right, and, but hold on. Let me stop you on the last one. Quote, being better than Hull. Hull is up for being the singular worst player who plays professional hockey. He is an atrocity. That's not the standard. Justin, we need a top pairing defenseman and a top six forward. Like,
yeah, absolutely. And I'll get to that. I'm just saying that I think Pelika will come up, so maybe a good mentor. So there's maybe 4D. Okay. Then we get into the trades. I like Byram, even though I just read the article that we're not one of the top four, which
never are.
That's the whole conversation, right? Is like, why? And then if you're looking at forwards, obviously, like, the Robinson thing's been in talk and everything like that. But, you know, there's a lot of Avs fans, too, that kind of want Girard traded. And he's a defenseman. He's kind of been up and down. But I would say he's top four. But I would just say the last thing is it's almost like what the Iser plan is from this last few years, that it's kind of what's been going on, but it hasn't been working. And it's kind of like, what the heck?
That's where I'm at.
He's like signing these veteran guys to almost burn time until his guys come up. And I don't know if it's like an Oedipus complex or something, but that's a lot of risk because you don't know if these guys are going to pan out. I thought Casper took a jump, but it's risky. And it's what, 8 years?
Seven.
Or whatever it is.
This will be year seven, and I just...
Oh, seven. Okay, yeah.
I rarely find myself at a loss for words, both because it's what I do for a living, and Justin, I don't know, man. I tried to be very optimistic yesterday.
I don't know. No one knows. There's no hype.
No, and you don't get anything. You don't, like, hell, maybe people don't care about the Pistons. At least there was news. Hey, I don't like Caris LeVert, but they're signing Caris LeVert. Hey, they might attempt to go get Malik Monk. Like, something.
Their name is out there.
Right. This is something that is entirely different, and I want to say it again. NHL free agency is largely a myth. There is a reason, and I don't know if Kenny agrees or disagrees, but there is a reason I was borderline, you know, intracted on the Noah Dobson thing, because I always knew trades is what have to happen in the NHL. Free agency is just not a real pathway to getting the best player you can. They didn't do it. I mean, I'm an Islanders fan, and I go, that's dirt cheap for Noah Dobson. 25 years old, right-handed shot, and oh, but he wasn't good last year. The whole team stunk, and he had an injury. The bottom line is, if you're not going to make trades, this is what happens. Because free agency, Steve has not shown an ability to get anybody unless you got B. Arthur's hip. And then the guys you do get, he seems – there's. I mean, I'd almost fall over right now if he gave somebody 7 years a term.
Hmm.
I feel like he's got like a moral code or something here.
If he gave somebody 7 years a term, I would say Steve blinked twice if you're being
right.
Hostage.
Right. Like he's doing Morse code by blinking his eyes.
Lasers.
Lasers. Go to Ron, 97.1. Ronnie, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how are you, Mike?
Good, Ron. What the hell's going on? Talk to me.
Buddy, let me tell you this. I just feel like Yzerman is a guy that he says, I want player X. And when player X is gone, he don't know what to do. And I've asked this question before. Who's with him in Tampa? Because somebody had to be making those signings and trades over there. It couldn't have been him. Because he just doesn't have – it just looks like he just doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, I'm at a point now, Ron, I think you do have to question Chris Draper and this entire pro scouting. And it's been – to say bad would probably be stating it lightly. Ron, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm an idiot. I thought the Tarasenko thing was like he's gearing up to do something. And he still might. And I'm going to take the abuse from Rico and Kenny. But it's like, Ron, when they're signing another 40-year-old player and they're signing guys that don't even have profiles on Google, like, Ron, what the hell are we doing?
Mike, here's a stat for you. And this is true, and I checked it out also. So – to sign Byram, it would cost us a first and a third. Okay. Right. Do you know that in the NHL draft, only 25% of the second rounders make it?
Yeah.
So you tell me that I can have Byram for a first, second, and a third? I got it. Do it. It's a done deal. But well, see, I wanted Byram, and I wanted the guy from your team, the Islanders. Because
what, Dobson?
We can't keep the puck out of the net. You know, we continually go after the goaltenders when they're facing a barrage of shots in their own zone.
Well, and you factor in, you had the worst penalty kill in the history of the sport. I mean, you're right. No goalie's going to stand up to that. You could have had, you know, Henrik Lundqvist in his prime. He wouldn't be able to stand up to it's like playing in Anaheim for John Gibson. I'm not mad at John Gibson. Who the hell could thrive there?
Yeah, but, you know, we just continually to do this to set things up. And then last thing, Mike, what bothers me is this. So then Yzerman comes out here at the end of the season, him and McQuillan, and they sit right in that chair, and they say, we got to become a team that's harder to play against. I mean, okay, James Van Riemsdyk, really?
I know.
Is this going to make teams like, oh, man, hey, it's going to be hard to play against us, right?
Right. Like, if you wanted to back that comment up, and let me say this, because, I mean, you know, Ron, I don't want to get attacked by the hockeynistas. I'm just making a point. I'm not endorsing this. But if you want to be harder to play against, then why is Evander Kane in Vancouver. That guy's a pain in the ass. He's kind of a rat. He's an instigator, right? You know, you can get... Kenny has talked about Ruslan Gudas for 2 years now.
Yes.
Okay? You want to be harder to play against? That's the type of player.
Corey Perry just went to, I think, L.A. for like a song, like $3 million. I'm not saying that's your solution to the team, but that is harder to play.
You're making an example that if you want to make your words mean something, those are the players you bring in. As we sit here now, and it doesn't mean the offseason's over, and I know, I'm still hoping he's cooking up something. He's done none of it. And to Rico's point, guys, his comment holds true. Every minute that goes by, it holds true. Yeah, you know, free agency's going to be tough.
Yeah, a lot of players, a lot of teams.
Possibly the best
teams. A lot of players, a lot of teams.
But it's like the names come off the board, and it's a lot like what I talked about with the Pistons. It's trades, not free agency. And I don't understand what we're holding on to here. I mean, who's got a better war chest than the Wings? They have cap space. I'm not telling you they have the most cap space, but they are, I believe, top 10 in cap space as we sit here today. They have the prospects. They have the... here's my mistake. I assumed they would have the urgency and motivation. And here we sit. And I totally understand that teams have data. We don't. Teams... Look, there might be a big name out there, and a team looks at him and goes, that guy's a stick in the mud. Don't like him. But it can't be everybody. It's to your point about the Pistons. When Piston fans shoot down all of our ideas,
right,
and these same idiots now... are literally sucking Caris LeVert's toes.
Right.
Yeah, how's that taste? But they shot down all our ideas, right. But these are the same people
trying to
spin their way into a Caris LeVert hero arc.
Right, nobody's good enough. Well, we can do better.
Well, he played at Michigan. 248-539-9797. Guys, help me understand. Does anyone want to stand with me or freeze in the water with me? Yzerman's got to be cooking up something, right? Right? DeAndre Miller, gone. Gavrikov, gone. A lot of the other guys didn't hit free agency. They didn't trade for Dobson. But we got to keep hope alive. Right? Jace Robertson, maybe? That's nice. That's nice. That's great.
All right, guys, let's have this conversation. And John, I think you have questions. I really don't have answers. I'd love for you to welcome all factions of the Red Wing fan base to the table.
So there's a certain amount of fans for the Detroit Red Wings, but especially of Steve Yzerman, that he can do no wrong. We call them Yzerbots because they just parrot anything he says, defend anything he says. And I'm curious because the conversation we had yesterday was, all right, he had moved on from players, had cleared salary cap, had $17 million, whether it was trade, whether it was free agency, that we felt yesterday at the opening of free agency that there would be a trade, or a signing. We were hoping for two. We ended up getting four, but none of them were, I would say, of much substance. And so just to recap where we are, and I may need you to help me with some of these names.
Okay.
The two forwards, John Leonard, we'll start with him.
That's an easy one.
26 years old, so he's nice and young. But last year had his best year of hockey in the AHL.
Yes.
And I know that those are three different letters than we're used to saying, the NHL.
It's not the NHL.
So I don't know that we're necessarily expecting a big impact from him.
No, he may play bottom of the roster or in the minors.
And these are all one-year deals. So another one-year deal by James Van Riemsdyk?
James Van Riemsdyk.
Riemsdyk.
He was the number two pick in the Kane draft. You may remember that as the 07 draft.
Right.
We are in the year 2025.
Right. He's 36. Another one-year $1 million. So he took care of the forwards.
He's basically going to sub in the Tarasenko role.
Yep. And then two defensemen, Jacob Bernard Docker, former first rounder. He's 25, but things have not really panned out for him because he's available at 25 years old.
People are a little surprised he wasn't qualified, the qualifying offer on him. Sure, you roll the dice. He's an end of the roster guy.
Uh-huh. And then another defenseman, Ian Mitchell, who kind of shared time between Boston and the minor leagues last year.
None of these are, I mean, James Van Riemsdyk can play on your second power play and play on your third line, but these are not high impact moves.
All right. So first shout out I would like to make is to all the Iserbots, those that defend Steve Yzerman, no matter what. I would like you to talk to me like I talked to Teddy, 3 years old. Explain to me in very basic terms, what, how could you support this?
Hi, Cookies.
Oh, that's Hi, Cookies. That we got the drop. That was Hi, Cookies. That was Teddy from Bronner's. Hi, Cookies. What is the defense for clearing this salary cap space and then using it on these four guys that you still have? I mean, what do they still have now? $14, $15 million worth of cap space? And every day that goes by, every hour that goes by, your options become less and less because guys either re-sign, they're traded, or they've already signed free agency somewhere else.
Yeah, Gavrikov signed yesterday, 7 years, $7 million, appeared to take a little less to go to New York.
Right. And so, again, give us a call, 248-539-9797. Talk to me like I know nothing of hockey. And maybe you think I don't.
But they do.
And so what is the defense? What is the plan? Because to me, it feels like in this Yzerman part of the rebuild, it feels like we peaked 2 years ago. And that peak was tying for the final wild card spot, and you lost that tie, so you didn't get to play in the postseason. And then last year, it was out with Air Gosh Despair, and in with Tarasenko. And were we going into the season last year thinking that it was a better roster than it was the year prior? No, we thought maybe it was a wash or it was a little bit less. And the results said it was a little bit less. Now, you made a coaching change. You went on a little bit of a run. And I don't know how much Todd McClellan will have an effect on this roster. Can just a simple coach take them from an 86-point team to a playoff team? TBD. I don't know. But what am I missing about what path this team is on? What am I missing about this team being better than it was last year, taking a step forward, a step closer to the playoffs? And then for those that are fed up, you're frustrated, you're angry, whatever that feeling is, you're frustrated with Yzerman and the Wings, give us a call and air it out. What are you feeling right now? What is your level of frustration? What is the moves moving forward? Because free agency is not over. Player acquisition does not have to end. And we've talked about it in football all the way up until training camp. The season is not starting tomorrow. What moves can Steve Yzerman make that will make this team better now that free agency, the start of free agency has come and gone? Trades have been made. There are less players available today than there were yesterday.
Kind of feels like we're in hockey purgatory. I mean, you said it feels like they peaked 2 years ago and are just kind of humming along at the same spot. We're in hockey purgatory.
Well, humming along at the same spot, like,
well, there's no urgency to shake this up. There's certainly not a desire to take risks and get your hands dirty. Steve Yzerman's just humming along. And if his name wasn't Yzerman, he wouldn't be afforded the ability to hum along. So on that front, you are taking advantage of your cachet when you run the team this way. Nobody else could get away with this. He will. And in that standpoint, I'm more, not even angry as much as I am sad. Like, it's just sad. This is a proud franchise. This is a great fan base. There's more demand than there should be for this product, given the lack of results. People are invested in this team in a way that they shouldn't be, given the flatlining that's taken place. But they do care. Mm-hmm. And that's what's sad, is it feels like their level of investment is getting taken advantage of. Because Steve Yzerman can get away with this. Nobody else could or would.
Well, it's for those that are willing to let him get away with it. What's the defense? What is the positives about what we've seen in trades, free agency, about constructing this roster from what we saw last year that fell short of the playoffs to what we expect or hope to see this year? And it's 10 years. This is going on 10 years without being in the postseason. This is 100 years of Red Wings hockey. What is it that I'm missing? What is good about this?
How does it all tie together? If you're someone who's been defending the Iser plan, you're still on board, please make it make sense. John has questions. I do not have answers. You guys know hockey. We don't. I get the routine. If you don't believe, then you don't know hockey. So please fill in the gaps. But if you're someone who is frustrated, there's always room for you. And we'll talk to both sides of the fan base. James Van Riemsdyk going to be a big key to helping the Wings win the 2015 Stanley Cup. One problem, it's 2025.
Can we just go with JVR?
JVR is fine. And I think he is, for $1 million, a guy who can help your second power play, play in your bottom six, fine. They need more than fine at this stage of where we're at. Steve Yzerman's in his seventh season. He's on his third coach. They haven't made the playoffs. They are stalling out. They have a ton of cap space. They traded Tarasenko to create additional cap space. I'm not quite sure for what, because we watched the free agent pool dry up very quickly. We saw one of the big names they were linked to in trades.
Yeah, and all four pickups yesterday were for $1 million or less.
Yeah.
So they still have plenty of cap space. And I'm just wondering, and I know, hey, they can still make a trade. I just don't know. All your options are drying up.
And who's making that trade? Because part of why you wanted to make a trade before free agency was to free up cap space. Like if you're another team.
Yeah.
Now that the first big wave of free agency is over, I'm not going to shake loose a star player. There's no way to replace that guy right now.
All right, I'm going to come across as an Iserbot here. I am not an Iserbot.
Okay.
This is absolutely unacceptable. It's been an abomination. I still think he should see out at least this year. But in terms of, I'll be an Iserbot. Yesterday's Van Riemsdyk and the money they spent and getting Tarasenko out. There's been some chatter of Tarasenko being a problem in the locker room. And they could produce relatively the same goal total next year. That's an Iserbot take. In terms of like bigger picture, you say his name or he'd be out. Alavila got 7 years and 7 days. Yzerman hasn't had that long. It's getting close.
So you're saying next summer?
Yeah. You know, that's a fact. That's a fact to support that, hey, your owner gave that general manager that amount of time. Let's give him at least the same. I think we would all agree we still think Steve Yzerman is probably better at his job than Alavila.
Yes.
So it's sad trying to come up with these takes.
Yeah, it's almost kind of backwards, though, because Avila never should have seen a seventh year. But now that's
extension.
Well, yeah, and now that's the justification for Yzerman staying is the mistake that they made previously with the other team. Yeah, that's a slippery slope.
You have to twist words to defend him.
No, and I know, and I think everybody comes from a position of wanting it to work with Yzerman, but I think the fan base is fractured now of people who still believe and people who are out.
The other thing is maybe these are his guys. Let him see it through. It's a process. It's the Ken Holland history lesson. It's
right. Holland said 10 years and he got pushback, but I don't even think Ken Holland meant 10 years to make the playoffs. My understanding was 10 years to be in contention, right? You gut your system, you draft these 18, 20 year olds, right? They matriculate through the system, and within 10 years, you're competing for a cup. This year will be 10 years since the Red Wings' last playoff appearance.
But you
Steve's
could argue-
not responsible for all of that. Fine. I understand. But this is 7 of the 10. Do you feel like they're a playoff team right now?
I really don't think they are.
Right. So what's going to change? And that's what we keep looking for.
One more defense of why do you still have the money? You made the little moves yesterday that can help you, especially Van Riemsdyk. He can fill the void of Tarasenko and not be a DB in the locker room.
Okay? Sure.
All right. So it could be a positive. But you still got money. Maybe a trade's still coming. The Matthew Tkachuk trade didn't happen until July 22nd. Nobody saw it coming. Man, but I'm reaching, right?
He'd have to know. It'd have to be so quiet, and he'd have to know.
Maybe something, you know, the dust settles in Dallas, and Robertson is the guy.
Yeah. Or Kyle Connor begs to come back to the state of Michigan with 1 year left on his deal.
I think the most troubling thing for me right now is that they got money locked up in guys that I'm not sure they should be paying that much.
What do you mean?
Like Larkin.
Oh, he's a steal with this cap.
We just differ.
Okay.
We just differ in opinion on him, and he's the centerpiece.
Yeah, he's going to make half of what like elite centers make in 2 years.
Okay. That's 2 years more. We're going to go. I mean, I think.
My point is, as the cap goes up, having Raymond and Sider and Larkin and DeBrincat and these guys locked into what are going to look like good deals is not a detriment. The issue is, what have you done around them? Because it's Kopp and Compher, and it's not making wise decisions in free agency.
I think the biggest punch Yzerman's taken that he didn't think was coming is I think this roster has stalled out. And I don't think he anticipated that. They have hit a wall in terms of what they can produce with points when he probably thought, oh, we'll go from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, what John said, hey.
Was it 91?
Maybe it was Lalonde that screwed this thing. I don't know.
A guy he hired. You know, I just, it's always, all roads lead back to Steve Yzerman because every player who's on a good or a bad contract, he signed. Every player that's here is because he wants them here. So when the team falls short, he's responsible.
Well, and we hear a lot about the core, right? And the core is good, but the core isn't getting you to the playoffs. You've got to be able to complement that core. And I don't think it's with JVR, John Leonard, Bernard Docker, Ian Mitchell. Like, I just don't think those are the steps, especially when you've created this cap space. Are you just going to go into the season with the rainy day fund? I asked you that yesterday. How much do they need for the rainy day fund? You said, well, maybe $1 million, maybe a couple million dollars.
But no more than that. So what are they going to do with this now $15 million they're sitting on?
And the only other, I mean, I'm maybe going to say it because, I mean, maybe you're putting together a war chest for McJesus.
Look, like I said, I don't have any answers. Their blue line right now is a problem. Who is there? Like, is Justin Hall getting promoted to the second pair?
These are answers I don't have.
I know. And we talked about how important it is to put a good defense in front of Gibson because we've seen what can happen, Anaheim, when you don't. I mean, he's very good, but he's not going to make up for a terrible defense. Right now, you got to bite down and take a risk. Like the Gavrikov deal, would you have given him more money? Would he have taken more money?
Well,
the Keandre Miller trade, would you have paid
risk.
Him? Well, there is risk. I mean, if you're going to hand out 7 and 8 year deals at some of the highest
calculated risks.
I know. But he doesn't want to screw it up. I mean, how much of that is this? That he's gone this far down the road that he doesn't want to screw it up by making a rash decision. But where they're at, they need some level of bold action to shake up where they're at.
Okay, so then let's go to next year. All right, and the risks are going to be the same. All right, you're trying to bet on, all right, this is going to pay off for us if it's a 7 year deal for at least five of the seven.
Yeah.
All right, so you have 5 years of good hockey, of trying to figure out a way to get over not just being in the playoffs or being a wild card, but being, you know, one of the top three or being a team that contends for a Stanley Cup. But if you're not willing to take a calculated risk this year or last year or the year before, when's the time right?
Because it feels like he's got like a roadmap in front of him. And on one side, it's Stanley Cup destination. And on the other side is where they are now.
There's no bridge.
How do we connect the dots?
Yeah.
How do we get closer to that? And the answer is wait for Carter Bear to become an NHL player. Which will be more than 10 years of Steve Yzerman's tenure by the time we get to that.
By the time that happens, yeah.
Texter says, what do you mean? You guys wanted a couple defensemen and a couple forwards.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted two guys. They gave us four.
There you go. Derek in Garden City. Derek, where are you at on this?
So I think the thing with the whole Yzer plan, it's double-edged sword, right? We want to see quick results, but I think his deal is long-term, right? He's trying to build for a complete future. And the big issue with that is now he's taking these depth free agent signings, and they're turning out to be trash year after year. When we have younger players to promote within, I think that's what slows us down in the terms of rebuilding.
Derek, I would push back that we want it quick. I think Red Wing fans have been incredibly
patient.
Everyone
wants it quick, right? And I think I sit here and watch every single game during the season, you get disappointed towards the end of the year. But I think in the terms of the long run, would you rather see a 3 or 4 year contender run or 1 year run and done? You know, so
I've already waited seven. As far as I see it, like I should be getting the 3 year run already.
I agree.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like if this was Steve's first, second, third year, hell, even his fourth year, you go, hey, took two or three to clear out the clutter. Hockey players don't get promoted for a couple years. We're beyond that point, guys. We've been patient. I don't think anybody should be accused of being impatient in a Red Wing fan capacity.
No, and I just don't understand. Again, maybe there's something big yet to happen today, tomorrow, or before the season starts, but you cleared the cap moments before free agency and a lot of the big trades were going to happen, and then there was nothing.
Let's get to Adam in Gibraltar. Adam, would you consider yourself an Yzer bot?
No. It was kind of funny. My buddy, the first like half hour into free agency, it was starting yesterday, he goes, Heisman's got to go. And I was like, all right, give him a little bit of time. But yeah, yesterday was a very underwhelming start to free agency, like you said. I mean, he still has moves to make. He still can make moves. But I think I agree with John. Like, I think we just sold out a couple of years ago. And our roster got worse last offseason. If you remember, he had all his chips in the basket with Stamkos last year. Hence why he lost Perron. Hence why he lost Gostisbehere Bear. I mean, if you bring those guys back, I think the roster is a lot better than what it was this year, in my mind. But he just doesn't want to give term, guys. Like, he's not wanting to give those 5, 6, 7, 8 year terms. That I think that's his whole issue. I don't know if that's him or if Chris Illich is, you know, kind of, you know, stalling them out in these contracts. But they got to start opening up these checkbooks with these guys. But as far as I'm concerned, if he doesn't make any more moves, I think this opens the door for Pelika and Danielson to make the team right out of training camp.
Potentially. We've seen the hesitancy to do that, though. Even Casper didn't make the club out of camp. I mean, shortly right. thereafter, they got him on the roster, but there was a hesitancy to put him up.
But so is that the answer then? Is that what's going to take this team from, you know, missing the playoffs by 5 points to in the playoffs this coming year? Young players, unproven in the NHL.
They'll take their lumps. It probably doesn't get you in.
So then we're
going to do the whole year 8. Like, I don't think he's ever going to get fired. I don't. So it's sad because I don't think he's operating with any urgency to deliver for this fan base that loves him so much. And I feel like on that level, you're taking advantage of the fact that the fan base loves you so much because you are not. And I wouldn't even say in a hurry. There's no timeline.
Well, that's the question then, because we all work under a timeline. And if there's no timeline, like, what is the expectation? What type of expectation does Steve Yzerman have for his team? I know he's not going to say it to us.
Right, but we don't even see it.
Right, but so that's why there's frustration is when we ask about, hey, do you expect to make the playoffs? And there's this hemming and hawing, and it's a word soup, and then they don't make the playoffs. We ask the same thing. Like, at what point is he going to say, this coming year, I'm going to make moves that I expect us to be in the playoffs?
Yeah, what year? What decade? And I like what Adam said. He goes, he doesn't want to hand out term. That's an honest read of where Steve's at. He said it last year when some of those guys got signed for longer term deals, and to see Keandre Miller get an 8-year deal on the trade, to see Gavrikov get a 7-year deal. These are blue liners that made sense for the Red Wings. It's that Steve doesn't want to pay what the market says they're worth.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's going to be people, what's he supposed to do? Steve Yzerman is not a victim. Steve Yzerman is a highly compensated, smart, sharp hockey mind. He is not a victim. If the prices are too high, he needs to adjust to what the market is. He can't be stuck in the Stone Age. You either pay what the price is or you don't. And if you don't, you don't get better. We'll call the Yzerbots to the table. Frustrated Wings fans, 248-539-9797. Where are you at with the Yzer plan?
You've been injured in an auto accident, and now you're drowning in medical bills or dealing with insurance companies who couldn't care less about you. Injury attorney David Femininio needs to be your first call, period. Get David, get paid. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's a promise. So if someone you know has been injured, don't just sit there and hope things get better. Call David at 855-65-CRASH or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's getdavidgetpaid.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1.
All right, 97.1, we'll get some of the ticket techs in the mix. We just got done with the Tigers power stat, also Red Wings conversation. And look, I wish I had something to sell you. I'm going to maintain hope. Is my optimism waning? Well, sure it is. But I still feel like the Wings have a ton of cap space, and there's got to be a trade. There's got to be something Steve's working on. Because if I allow myself to live in a world where there's no plan, or the actual offseason is some, you know, AHL All-Star and Ian Mitchell or whatever it is, and 37-year-old James Van Riemsdyk. I mean, good God. Yeah, maybe the guy who played in 2013 I'd be excited about. But in the here and now, the Wings have done nothing. Nothing. Getting rid of Tarasenko gave me hope, but there's nothing. They haven't signed anyone, and if you're anti-free agency, you don't like the crop, you don't want to overpay, I've heard all of these concerns. I'm not mad at you. I understand them. But I've said from the beginning, it's all about trades. It's the same thing. We're going to get into this Pistons thing. How you enjoying your offseason? Let's run it back. We like our guys. Do you? Do you? Because now you just paid Caris LeVert $15 million a year.
And the other guy you can't really touch right now. So
what?
No, I'm just saying with the
you can't sign Beasley right now under investigation. And look, the bottom line is, Rico, even the guy they're rumored to be talking about, we'll do it in the 5 o'clock. It's all redundancy. You're going to have three guys who all do the same thing in a year where I got to develop one in particular. We'll talk about it because I know you have a strong opinion. But I wish I had something to update you on. And the reason you've heard David playing that clip from Titanic is, yes, I'm freezing in the water because I won't give up. Because if they don't do anything and the offseason is the John Gibson trade, giving away Tarasenko, and three complete nothing burger signings, I mean, they are nothing, then I don't know what we're doing here. And I don't think that's unfair to say that. So I'm going to wait. I'll probably look like a bigger fool than I already am. And that's where we are. But we did a couple hours on that. If you want hockey talk, it's there. A lot of people had a lot to say. David, the ticket tech's coming in, and I'm sure Kenny is going to be a smartass and tell me the Wings have just signed Lamb Chops from the TV show.
Didn't have that one on the card.
The Lightning team's best players were not picked by Yzerman. People just overrated him. That is J.N. Canton.
Look, yes, he inherited. What did he inherit? Stamkos and Martin St. Louis, and he inherited.
Kucherov, I think?
No, he drafted Kucherov.
He had like two or three Hall of Fame guys.
He inherited Victor Hedman, didn't he?
Victor Hedman, that's what I'm thinking.
But he drafted Kucherov. He drafted Braden Point.
Never put his drafting into question, though. That's not what we're talking about. It's pro scouting.
Well, right. That's the whole idea is you have to make trades in order to get. Look, Zito in Florida, only 20% of that team was drafted. It's a pro scouting masterclass. And I understand. Okay, no state tax. That can't be the excuse for everything. And it's also, they cheated the salary cap with the long term. Okay, that's a new thing.
But also, it's allowed. I mean, you can say it's wrong. You can say it's not a moral way of winning a cup. But you won a cup. I don't care what you did. You followed the rules. There's nothing, there's no rule against it. At least there wasn't. There's about to be.
Yes. Oh, Jacob Bernard Docker. That's the other guy they signed. Who?
Felt like Stevie was clearing space to get Ekblad, only for him to take a huge discount and stay in Florida. But no excuse, Steve. You still have to go get someone. Hockey Elite here from Paul in Dearborn. He says, I'm done on Yzerman. I've given up. The whole narrative that the free agent market is thin, stupid. There were depth guys on D like Nate Schmidt. Upgrades to what we have that Steve didn't sign for some apparent reason. Too scared to make a move, and I'm out.
Look, I got to wait. I have to wait until at least a reasonable amount of time goes by. It's day one of free agency. Trades can happen. Things can happen. Mm-hmm. I can't say that, but all I can tell you is if this is the roster on opening night, I would be joining that person.
Not to be redundant, but the free agency market's hard. Trading is hard. Oh, that's what the money's for.
I know that. But
I'm just tired of that being an excuse.
Without the snap, way to go, Kenny.
Yeah, but Kenny, I think the thing there's a disconnect for me is like whether it's media or fan media or fans outright, there's still a sect of this fan base that's defending this. And I don't understand.
I feel like we just operate in two separate realities at this point. You can either believe that, I mean, you can believe Steve has something cooking like you do.
And I think, no, but I think that's
why. And then there's
why.
The people that just blindly follow.
Yeah, because he knows more about hockey than we all do. So he's got a plan.
He's the GM of your team.
And it's going to work. And it's going to work because if you don't say it's going to work, you realize that maybe you've wasted a lot of years for something that's not going to happen.
Also, if you're that worried about the free agent market, trading is probably your best option. We addressed it earlier in the show.
I've said that for how long?
Yep.
It's never about free agency to me. You know, I wouldn't mind participating, but your best players are going to be available via trade. And like even today, Byram is out there. And are the Wings involved? Not per Elliot Friedman. If there's a plan, I'm struggling to see what it is. And that doesn't mean I'm supposed to. But I don't know what dots I can connect.
Unless they catch lightning in a bottle, similar to what the Tigers did, where it's like, okay, we were all about waiting for the kids, and then some of the guys came up, and lo and behold, they started winning.
But can I – all right. If I say this, I don't want you judging or getting angry or the people. Nothing that took place last year was planned. That was once-in-a-lifetime magic.
I said they caught lightning in a bottle.
They got very – they just did. Happened. Now, this year, they get full marks. But, like, when it went the way it went and you traded your second-best arm and you were 9.5 games out of first, man, literally, I won't ever forget the quote where they sat down to breakfast and goes, how do we survive the rest of the season?
Yes. This is a 30-for-30 in the making. And I would be glued to the television set of just all the behind the scenes and all the decisions that were made and not made during this time period. Because you're right. At some point, it was like, oh, well, what do we do next? Wait, we just won a couple in a row. Let's keep this thing going.
I guess I'm just confused as to what he's actually doing. Does he not realize that the trade market is open? How do you just act like your team is just perfect and nothing needs to change?
I talked about this all last week. Every media report from the NHL insiders, if you were going to pull a big move off, it was going to happen last week. Why do you think I was so into this Noah Dobson thing? Well, now we're sitting here and I'm going, all right, he's got something up his sleeve. I'm using the DeBrincat thing as recent history. Am I feeling as optimistic as I was yesterday? Of course not. I'd be lying to you. But I mean, I've already gone all in. I'll live with it. Because on the other side of this is just apathy. If they don't do anything, it's just complete and utter, for me, apathy. There's not anger. There's no like throwing a chair or anything. Just to hell with it then. If you're not going to operate like you care, then why should I? And every fan can make their own choice, and that's fine. And I don't know what we're doing here, man. I don't get it.
I'm with you.
Where is it? Like a level of urgency, much less outright urgency. Where is it?
I think more so you just want to know what exactly are we doing?
I know.
Because you're tired of going around in circles, and it's just like, how is this any different from last year or the summer before that?
It's not.
And that's where the insanity kicks in. Do something different.
248-539-9797. So we can wrap about the Tigers. We do want to mix in the Pistons. I really feel like this offseason has gone off the rails. Yes, part of that is out of your control, but I think you had a faulty plan from the start, which I said from the minute Trajan Langdon spoke, and I think you got worse.
Well, Tim Hardaway Jr. is now a Nugget, 1-year deal. So,
okay, then you know what? Then we've got to say Trajan's cooking. No, I mean, I'm serious. All right, Beasley to the Feds, Hardaway to the Nuggets, and Schroeder to the Kings. Now, I understand the NBA is the weirdest CBA of all CBAs, and now Schroeder signing, but it could be maybe not, and it could turn into a sign and trade.
Huh?
Huh? Okay, well, then it turns into the Malik Monk show. I have reservations. We can talk about it, but this was my problem from Jump Street. The idea that running it back was going to make you better was a falsity. I don't believe that to be true. Well, now you didn't get to run it back. And you still have the dead body of Fontecchio on the roster. And you signed a player I simply don't like in Caris LeVert. So now what? Well, Rico might have your answer for you. We'll get into it. We'll take some of your phone calls. 97.1.
All right, Steve Yzerman is speaking with the media as we speak. And one of the things he has said, Will Birchfield is out there, and the Birchie kid is relaying some of this information via Twitter. It says, Red Wings general manager Steve Yzerman on not making any major free agent moves. Says, quote, "We were certainly open to it. The guys that we were hoping to talk to all signed before free agency with their club or got traded. We didn't even get a chance to talk to these guys. Not much you can do about that." So when you say or got traded, that tells you there's two players that they were interested in at the very least. You can say that Mitch Marner was definitely a player they wanted to go after. Noah Dobson was another one that they wanted to go after.
Yeah, but if you know a team is going to trade him and everybody knew the Islanders were going to trade Dobson, how are you not in on those conversations? Like the fact that you say, well, never really got a chance to talk to them.
Well, like, they could have been. And
I'm
then
not
they,
sure that's but, an excuse.
But then if you find out what that asking price is, and I think it also tells you he didn't want to match the asking price, which was a steep price for them to pay. But nonetheless, it's a guy.
Yep.
Keandre Miller was probably another guy that they were looking at.
Sure, from New York.
Yeah.
Who went to Carolina.
But when he's talking specifically about free agency, I think that speaks about Mitch Marner.
And I agree with you. See, I was just watching a little bit at the break as well, and Will asked them a question about, do you think you can compete without adding a top four defenseman or a top six forward? And Steve's like, well, we definitely want to try to add those things. But he did say he thinks they're marginally better, and he thinks John Gibson is going to make them tougher to play against. So that's what we said, and that's all good. Here's what I don't like, and tell me if I have maybe I have no reason to believe this. At every point over the last couple of years, what I hear from Steve Yzerman is, well, you know, we couldn't do much about it, or we just failed doing it, or we couldn't get it done. Just like he said to your quote that Will asked him that you just read. At some point, you got to pay off as the GM. Like, I don't take the excuse of, well, what do you expect us to do? Or it's tough in the offseason as an excuse. You get paid to build this team, and we're looking at 9 years without the playoffs. Not all on him. But, like, I just don't like hearing, well, not really much we can do there. Your job is to build this team at the NHL level, something that you failed at so far.
Yeah, to an extent, he has. I mean, look, they haven't made the playoffs. I mean, that's an area we can say pass or fail. That's been a failure. It's been a failure for the 7 years, whatever it is he's been here as the GM. What he is doing is adding to the talent base and the foundation of this team. That is happening, but it's not happening at the pace that
it just feels like an endless runway. Like, I get it, man. We're going to draft, we're going to develop, and that is how you succeed. I understand that. But you're not going to succeed that way by itself. You got to add some forwards. You got to add some veterans.
Well, he needs to find
the drafting is fine, but how long are we going to say, well, he drafts well? He does everything else poorly.
Well, I mean, he's made a couple of good acquisitions, but I think they've been outweighed by the bad acquisitions or bad contracts that have been handed out to a couple players. But what we need to see is the next DeBrincat trade. That's a need to see, right? I mean, you've stockpiled the prospect base. That's great. So maybe now's the time to start moving on from the first round picks again. Like Ken Allen used to give those first round picks away to
like Candy,
right? Because the team was good and they were trying to improve from year to get even better. Maybe it's time to start doing that and pairing it with prospect to land somebody of substance, which I still think can happen. July 25th, Steve Yzerman.
I wonder if he's going to be asked about that. Steve, do you realize there's now a trade deadline for you? It's July 25th at 2:00. So please make any moves before that to keep your job. Real quick, ticket text. You can't sign players who are unavailable. Understood. But there's somebody available. And yeah. Like, you can't say this forever and expect people to think Yzerman can get the job done. Well, you know, I just couldn't get it done. What do you expect me to do? I was too late on that one. Like, I get it. If the price and the asking is too much, then you move on to plan B. I have a feeling there is no plan B, though. or a plan C. You have to field an NHL team here.
And they will, and they have. And to my point, I wouldn't be happy if this is all they did. Don't misconstrue that. I'm not happy if this is all they do. But are they better today than they were at the end of the season? I think they are, but it's like slightly.
It's
marginally.
Yes.
Is it enough to make them a playoff team? I don't know. It's enough to be competitive again going into March, and hopefully they don't collapse again for a fourth year. That's what I'm concerned about. Why do they keep collapsing in March? Everything looks pretty good going into it, and this year it looked better than ever.
It did.
And
they were 8 points up, right?
And then you have the Four Nations Cup, and you come out of that, and it's nothing.
I just feel it's always kicking the can, and Yzerman's pretty honest about what's going on, and there's this feeling I'm getting from him where he just, it's almost resignation. It's almost like, well, you know what? We're going to do our best. We're not optimistic we can get it done in free agency. Like, if he makes no more moves or no more substantial moves going into camp this year, if this is the team, we said it already, and I'm not going to judge him right now because there's a lot of time still, it's an epic failure, and I truly believe he can't do the job.
Yeah, it would be a gross disappointment if that's the case, and I don't think that's going to be the case. I do think they're going to do something. Do you think they're going to do something? And there's hope is one thing, but do you think that he's going to
make
a trade?
No.
You don't think he's going to make a trade?
And let me tell you why.
Okay.
I thought the last 2 years something's going to happen, and DeBrincat did happen. But I feel that DeBrincat happened because DeBrincat wanted it to happen, not that Steve made it happen. Now, we gave up a first-round pick, but I kind of feel it fell in his lap. So every other time you thought, need to make a move, need to make a splash, need to make this team better, and he hasn't. So until he proves otherwise, no, I'm not so sure it's going to happen. Why is this time going to be different than any other time? So, no, I don't believe it. I want to be proven wrong. No. And some of these comments, and I know, man, you're not supposed to react to press conferences.
The thing is that it's speaking in front of cameras and microphones, and you're not going to give away the farm with what you're really
understood.
Planning
on doing. But the comments annoy me because it's this feeling of, well, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Well, so
I want you to do your job.
Ryan Hanna reporting out there. He says Yzerman says that while they continue to explore trades as development camps wrap up and teams configure their rosters, fewer teams are pressed against the cap, so there will be less pressure to force trades.
See, and that's a problem, and we talked about that too. The cap continues to go up, and it was stalled for a while where I think it was easier for people to make moves.
The acquisition of Mason Appleton, Ryan Hanna says that Yzerman says they're looking for Appleton to play on the penalty kill and on a checking line that can maybe chip in a bit of offense. So he's looking at he's a bottom six forward.
Yeah.
So, like, okay. I don't think anybody was surprised by that. Van Riemsdyk, probably a top six forward, but can they still get better? Yes.
I feel our worry was always that over the last couple years that he's not cut out for this job. And we were sold a false bill of goods. That was our worry. And we've always denied it.
I don't think it was ever a worry. Like going into when they hired Steve Yzerman.
I mean over the last couple of years.
Oh, okay.
When you start to chip away of like that hockey savior mold that you thought you hired. So the worry is that like, okay, maybe he can't do the job. Maybe Tampa was a fluke. Maybe he wasn't responsible for all the success. The more we go on and the closer we think we're getting to like this NHL product that should make the playoffs, I'm starting to worry that our biggest nightmare might be coming true, that this guy simply can't do the job.
Well, I hope that's not the case, and I know we all hope that's not the case, because he did build something in Tampa Bay that turned into something great in Tampa Bay.
Sure.
And in large part, it was because of a couple of players that he drafted. And yes, there were some acquisitions as well.
Yeah,
there's no question he's drafted well, but the acquisition part, I mean, we're 7 years into this, and how much talent have they really acquired outside of drafting? And we're still waiting for some of these draft picks to kind of pay dividends. And like I said, there's a handful of prospects and I'm dying to see if any of them can make the team out of training camp. And even then, there's going to be a learning curve because they'll be rookies.
I'm not looking to take a credit away from what he did in Tampa. I'm not. I just want to see the same thing here.
Sure. Okay?
And so far we've seen anything, but you can only stand on the excuse. Well, Kenny Holland left me in a really bad position so long. This is year 7, 9 years without the playoffs. It's not good enough to step to a podium, and I know a lot can change still, but it's not good enough to step to a podium and give me the, what do you want me to do? which he kind of did.
Well, he did that last time. I don't think he's doing that right now, but he did that.
Well, I can play you a cut if I can get it in the system before the next segment where he pretty much says the same thing.
Well, if he says the same thing, then he said the same thing. Ryan Hanna has another quote. Says, Eisman said, quote, I think today our team is a little more competitive, maybe constructed a little bit better than it was at this stage last season. I agree with that, but the obvious follow-up is, are you good enough to compete in the playoffs?
Right. He was asked that. He didn't really answer it.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. We got some people want to react to this, and we look forward to hearing from you via text or the phone next year. 97.1 The Ticket.
You've been injured in an auto accident, and now you're drowning in medical bills or dealing with insurance companies who couldn't care less about you. Injury attorney David Femininio needs to be your first call, period. Get David, get paid. It's not just a catchy phrase. It's a promise. So if someone you know has been injured, don't just sit there and hope things get better. Call David at 855-65-CRASH or go to that website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That's getdavidgetpaid.com.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.